Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning. Dr. Jerry Mixon is on spring break with his family. I think he's on a plane right now. I'm Lynette here in the studio with three wonderful doctors this weekend. We have Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho, and Dr. Ken Pentland from our longevity clinics as well to answer your questions. Let me give you the phone number real quick, 206-421-5757. Mark, we dropped your call accidentally. Give us a call back and we will talk with you as soon as possible. All right, this came in as a text. 67-year-old female, quite petite, experiencing back pain and radiating pain on legs, has been diagnosed with osteoporosis, throbbing pain, leg pain for about 3 years, back pain for about one. Wow. Yeah. What would cause this and what are some things that could be done?
Right.
She should become a longevity patient.
Yes.
She should. Definitely. So that's a great question. Before I answer that, I just reminded myself, hearing that, that I saw a patient yesterday in the clinic who had osteoporosis. I had a compression fracture that was kind of dismissed by her doctors.
Ouch. Very painful.
Oh, wow.
Very painful. But it was kind of chronic and it wasn't, you know.
Okay.
Two terrible studies came out about 2008 that said this procedure that we do called kyphoplasty wasn't really helpful, which is those researchers should be sued for malpractice, in my opinion.
Wow.
They were terrible studies. Any quality studies before and since then have showed how effective. I'm just saying this because I see this all the time where patients come in with osteoporosis. They have and usually it's an older female patient.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They are
petite, small.
Small, petite. They
small
excruciating
boned.
Pain from a compression fracture. And their doctor has been dismissive. And this doctor mentioned, well, we there's these studies back that said that didn't really help. And I was ready to.
Like what?
I think my blood pressure went up about 200 points.
Could you have a compression fracture and not know it?
Well, yeah. I mean,
you can.
And you can get these. You get an acute fracture, and those are debilitating. And the mortality, the morbidity mortality rate is higher than a hip fracture.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Those patients, because they go to bed, they can't get up, and they get pneumonia. And
that was my mom.
And they die.
She got the compression fractures all down her spine.
Yeah.
And she was gone within 2 weeks.
And then, you know, they have that hunched posture.
Right.
So the
much
lung
pain.
Volume decreases.
Right. The kyphotic deformity reduces lung volume, and they
can't breathe.
Their oxygen carrying capacity, I mean, their oxygenation suffers as a result. They're not getting to breathe properly. So, anyway, that's
And it hurts to take a deep breath, so they don't. And so, therefore, they develop stasis and they develop pneumonias at the bases of the lungs, and then that's it.
Right. We call that splinting because they can't take a full breath because it hurts too much.
Okay.
And like Dr. Umat said, they get atelectasis then turns into pneumonia, and then. Anyway,
well, we don't want that. So
that's my soapbox of the day. If you hear of anybody with terrible spine pain, especially in that age group, especially if it's female, kyphoplasty is like a miracle. This lady, I mean, she was pretty emotional. I mean, she said we saved her life. I mean, literally, she was thinking about ending her life, and the doctors dismissed this condition, which I think is a travesty. Anyway, going back to this patient, low back pain. She's had radiating leg pain. So if it's classic, sciatica means legs leg pain going all, typically, classically, going all the way down to the feet. We call that sciatic pain.
Okay.
Usually, if like it's a disc bulge pushing on a nerve, it's unilateral, meaning one side, usually not both sides. But a lot of time this pain is really more referred pain coming from the back. So pain generators in the back, especially in this age group, would probably be facet joint pain. We call that spondylosis, facet joint syndrome. But she could have vertebrogenic pain that also could cause radiating leg pain. So
what would you do for somebody that would come in? And
yeah, so, you know, typically x-rays, MRI.
Okay.
The osteoporosis per se usually doesn't cause pain unless they get a fracture or something like that. But it definitely could be so we're looking for the pain generators. So does she have facet pain, vertebrogenic pain? Does she have spinal stenosis, which is narrowing of the
That's very important, yeah.
Yeah, the central canal or the neuroforaminal openings, which are where the holes where the nerves come out of the spine. So really x-rays, MRI, I mean, getting the history first and foremost. Where is your pain? Tell us about that. Then a physical exam. We do certain maneuvers on physical exam. We're looking to see like a
where that is.
We do a straight leg raise. That means we have a patient lying down, raise their leg, and if that exacerbates their pain, then we think, well, that's a radicular pain component, and it's a one of these provocative tests that we do to see. It helps us to think about, well, maybe there's a pinched nerve, you know, kind of thing. But x-rays and at Pro Ortho, we often get an MRI. We can get an MRI on the same day in many cases, not always. But typically in a Medicare, if they have primary Medicare, we can often arrange to get that in the same day because they don't Medicare doesn't require pre-authorization.
Okay.
So that's, it's you know, there's a lot of moving parts, but I would say, you know, the probably, you know, kind of arthritis pain generators are probably the most significant things in this situation, which we can, and then we'd have to sort it out. You know, we might have to do some facet joint injections to kind of diagnose, okay, where is it coming from? We talked about earlier today about a fluoroscopic exam where I'm happy she had a patient on the fluoroscopy table and we're taking pictures and asking where, you know, just localizing where is that pain. And then that gives me a pretty good idea in my head that, okay, I think this is where we have to focus. So anyway, it's, you know, a lot of talking, but it, it you know, there's this is kind of something we see on a daily basis.
Okay, so this is something you see a lot.
On a, almost on a daily basis and sometimes several times a day, this kind of situation. So not uncommon at all.
Okay, so make an appointment, come in and see Dr. Nelson and his staff. If you don't see Dr. Nelson, you might see Sarah.
Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah is wonderful.
At Pro Ortho.
Sometimes I think they like seeing Sarah more than they like seeing me.
That's totally fine. We love Sarah. We love Sarah.
I'm totally fine with that.
There we go. I'm going to give you the phone number right now if you're going, I need to call him. For Pro Ortho and the team with Dr. Nelson, 425-823-4000. You can also go to his website, which is danielnelsonmd.com.
And then, you know, after the acute stage is over, this is such a classic patient where longevity and what we do can absolutely help slow down the rate of bone loss and muscle weakness and muscle wasting and pain and it just so many things that might be missed by others that we could really help with. Hormone replacement therapy in this patient would be amazing.
Would relief factor help in any of this, do you think?
I think relief factor is, in fact, Dan, our earlier call, Dale, that's what I thought went through my mind is, you know, she's try some relief factor.
You know, at least get on that. Chances are Dale knows he's a longevity patient.
Oh, he probably knows about it.
So chances are they've already tried that.
Dale, he was the tennis elbow guy. Yeah. Right. All right. Well, we're going to stay on this topic for a moment because Frank from Linwood is calling in. And Frank, you had something for Dr. Nelson as well.
Hello, Frank.
Correct. I had an MRI done because of spinal pain, and it was a surgeon diagnosed it as spinal stenosis, and I tried physical therapy, and it seemed to help a bit, but that treatment did not last long, and so I'm in a situation where I'm still sitting too much, and it's impact. I can't walk without walking sticks or a rollator, and I'm wondering where to go from here. It's just been ongoing now for a couple of years. I'm 78 years old, and I'd like to be able to. I can still drive a car just fine, but walking long distances is difficult.
Right. Yeah. So, and you had the MRI, and the spine surgeon you saw said you were not a surgical candidate for.
No. He didn't. He didn't say that. I'm trying to avoid any kind of major surgery as a result of a pulmonary embolism and ongoing medication that was like 12 years ago.
Okay, but, and the cause of the pain and the weakness is spinal stenosis?
Sounds like it.
I don't know that.
That's
sure.
Why, yeah.
Okay.
No, but
okay.
You do have some symptoms, it sounds like, Frank, that were consistent with what we call neurogenic claudication. I mean, you're sitting and you can stand and walk probably for only a short time, but then you need to lean over on something, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I can't, like, even, you know, standing at my bathroom sink, you know, washing my face, for instance, I have to lean against the cabinetry.
Right.
I cannot stand without additional support.
So that sounds like classic neurogenic claudication. And you know, we see people in the grocery store that'll, older person, they have to lean forward on the shopping cart.
On the cart, yeah.
Yeah, we call that shopping cart syndrome. Okay. There's an actual name for that.
I have it.
And that's almost pathognomonic for spinal stenosis, meaning that's kind of what it is until proven otherwise.
Okay.
Now, there might be something else going on, too. There could be other pain generators, but spinal stenosis would be probably the main one. Now, we do have some options that are really minimally invasive treatments for spinal stenosis. There's one called the MILD procedure, M-I-L-D. Vertos is the company, V-E-R-T-O-S. And mild, minimally invasive lumbar decompression, which basically through a very small incision about the size of a breath mint, we can go in and remove some of that redundant tissue in the spine. So the facet joints in the back of the spine that form the roof of the spine, the tissue can get overgrown and result in this condition called spinal stenosis, narrowing of the spinal canal. And you kind of sound like a classic example of that, Frank. But the MILD procedure has been a game changer, and that's – I got trained on that 10 years ago, but there were some issues, and now it's recently become a thing again, and we've had some amazing results.
Shall we talk about this, and maybe you can talk a little bit more and explain it? Because
sure.
It might be very helpful, because we need to go to a break with the music.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Very good, yes. And when we come back, we'll finish up with Dr. Nelson. We're also going to talk with Dr. Pentland about leaky gut. You've heard that term. What is it? And how do you know if you've got it? And what can you do about it? And we have something coming up very close to the heart of Dr. Umat. It's our Heart Health Fair. And that's happening May 9th. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up.
I like the kids.
You have no memory of it except the good.
Yes. We are back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and a very good morning to you. I'm Lynette, here with three amazing doctors, Dr. Pentland and Dr. Umat and Dr. Nelson. And we were just finishing up talking with Frank about the spinal stenosis.
Right. So just elaborate on that a little bit. The spinal stenosis, narrowing of the spinal canal, the nerves are getting squeezed a little bit. So I mentioned the MILD procedure, minimally invasive lumbar decompression, where we go in with a small incision about the size of a breath mint and we can go in with a special cannula system and decompress that extra tissue, just give those nerves more breathing room. And a procedure that takes about 45 minutes and minimal recovery time. So it's wow. been a game changer. And that's and of course, you know, I always preface saying that by, you know, we'd have to look at the MRI and see what
for
that
sure.
shows and how extensive is this spinal
for
stenosis.
Sure.
Is he a good candidate? And
honestly, Dan, 45 minutes in spinal stenosis, this is amazing.
It is. It's truly amazing. And, I mean, that's where this whole field, especially in musculoskeletal medicine, but spine surgery in particular, minimally invasive surgery, MIS, that's where everything is going. That's where my colleagues upstairs, my two spine surgeons I work with, Dr. Stone, Dr. Price, they're very good at minimally invasive surgery. So I have that unique situation where I can just do the curbside consult and just have more. I literally sometimes will text them an MRI picture and ask Scott or Addison, hey, what do you think about, you know. So that's, you know, we kind of have the best of both worlds with. If I can help your situation, I know two people that are excellent spine surgeons. And sometimes, you know, it comes to the point where, like, I need to send you upstairs
right.
and have them take a look. So,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's obvious right off the bat. Sometimes we have to put the patients, you know, we have to go put them through the paces a little bit and find out what's going to work. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Very good.
Because there are multiple things that may be going on in the
exactly.
same patient. Yeah.
That's usually right. there is. Yeah.
Is that Frank, helpful for you, Frank?
But I do have another question. To do that mild procedure, would I have to adjust my medication for the pulmonary embolism?
Which one are you taking? Eliquis, or what are you taking for? What are you taking? What kind of blood thinner are you taking?
Warfarin.
Oh yeah. If you're taking warfarin, for sure, we'd have to send you to go to anticoag clinic then to get your adjustments and blood draws for that.
Right.
Yeah. So usually we defer to the anticoag clinic and whoever's running that, the nurse or the doctor, you know, or both, saying this is what we need you to do. So they often have to bridge you to a different medication, like Lovenox or one of those for surgery like that. So. If you're on warfarin, we refer you to whoever's prescribing that to do whatever they would recommend.
Mm. Okay, and that's just because of the potential for bleeding.
Correct.
Control, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
Okay, and do you do the mild procedure yourself or one of your colleagues?
Nope, that's all me. I'm the only one that does it. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the comments and the information.
Good luck,
Frank.
Great
afternoon.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck
call,
to you.
Frank.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in, Frank. Phone lines are wide open for you and your questions for the doctors today on Leading Edge Medicine. Here's that number. It's 1-206-421-5757. Something you may have heard of over the last few years or may wonder about is something called leaky gut. And we have the specialist in the gut and what that is and what we can do about it. Dr. Ken Pentland, why don't we talk guts right now?
Interesting. Yeah, Dr. Mixon sent me a message a while ago about leaky gut, write something up about that because of a patient question earlier this year. Leaky gut, first of all, the gut membrane is not a solid wall to begin with. Things do permeate that. Of course, that's how we absorb nutrients from our diet. But when there's inflammation, the permeability can become excessive, right? And it starts to allow bigger things through that shouldn't be there, larger, like partially digested proteins that then end up activating the immune system. And then that food later becomes an enemy, right? Because it's in a place where it shouldn't be, so it activates the immune system. Next time you eat it, the immune system treats it like a foreign invader, right? Ooh. So when these things migrate to other parts of the body, it can end up causing inflammation in other places like joints or arteries. So it tends to lead to chronic disease over time. So this is the sort of problem with leaky gut turning into other things.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we diagnose this and what can we do about it?
Right. So it doesn't always show up as, you know,
a thing.
Very severe symptoms that you okay. that you think you should be looking into, right? So mild gas and bloating okay. or mental symptoms, brain fog. Mm.
I guess you would have to have a high index of suspicion mm-hmm. right. when listening to a patient's symptoms
patient
to be
history
able to say,
is important. Yeah.
Okay.
Clinical picture is vital there. So if a patient says, you know, I've had loose stools most of my life. Well, sometimes they think that's normal. Right?
Oh, okay.
Or I've always had a little bit of bloating or I have, you know, brain fog most of the time
right.
or something like that.
You know, you mentioned something about the loose stool. And then earlier we had said that 1 to 3 bowel movements a day is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And some people may not even know what normal is.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes
right.
have people that think 3 is too many
yes.
in a day.
Yes.
And so normal is so different for everybody. But definitely at least, you know, 1 to 3 bowel movements a day are
yeah.
considered normal.
I always ask patients, especially patients with a history of GI, you know, 1 to 3 bowel movements a day, well formed, easy to
yeah.
pass without pain or urgency. And they're like, oh, well, in that case.
Yeah, now that you told me, you know, they may have thought it was just, you know, I would have figured just once a day is normal.
And that's typical.
Okay. See, 1 to 3.
Oh, okay,
right.
1 to 3.
Yeah.
Okay, and what is the first thing that you would do for somebody that is dealing with this?
Well, so it depends, right? So if they have, like, if they also say something like, oh, I avoid dairy. Because I don't do well with it.
Okay.
That's another suspicion. Right?
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay, this person probably or my father had celiac disease. You know, it's like, okay, there's a family history. You know, food sensitivities tend to be handed down, right?
Okay.
So and oftentimes if there is a long history of inflammation that's sort of in the background, then it tends to produce a dysbiotic situation in the gut, which is as opposed to probiotic, which is good bacteria.
Good.
Dysbiotic is bad bacteria. And that can often lead to further inflammation, further production of inflammatory chemicals that then, you know, end up in other places in the body as well. So in addition to food sensitivity testing, we also do comprehensive stool testing.
Okay.
So eliminate the bad bugs and the bad foods, and then the gut is allowed to heal. And leaky gut doesn't happen anymore. Leaky gut can also exacerbate or lead to increased number of food sensitivities.
Yeah.
So maybe it started with dairy, but and then leaky gut sort of builds from that, and then you start to react to more and more foods as a result.
Okay.
So, Dr. Pentland, if somebody were to say to you, what are 1 or 2 things people can do to improve gut health,
mm-hmm.
what would your recommendation be?
Yeah,
it's a good question. So we talked about earlier motility, gut motility, right?
Mm-hmm.
A slow transit time in the gut. If you know the time between the food when the food goes in and the food comes out, right? If this is too long, then you have more likely to develop inflammation because the things that are trying to leave the body, the waste products, inflammatory products, are hanging around and being reabsorbed.
And we don't want that.
We don't want that. So one of the main causes of that is chronic dehydration. People just aren't drinking enough water usually.
Okay, I'm going to drink my water even more so right now.
Right.
And caffeine doesn't count, right?
Right. So first thing people get up, they drink their coffee. I tell people, no, 16 ounces of water first thing when you wake up.
Wake up and rehydrate.
Right, because, you know, coffee works better when you're hydrated.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
It's like turning the mill wheel when it's dry, you know.
Oh,
you have,
okay.
It has to be water in there.
That's a good visual. I like
right.
that. Yeah, water first,
right.
then
that's
your
a
coffee.
Great suggestion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and then the other thing is, you know, a decent amount of fiber. Most Americans get 12 grams of fiber per day. The recommendation is 20 to 30.
Oh, okay.
40
Ooh.
Even.
So we're under.
Some
wow.
cases, so.
So 2 to 3 to 4
Go eat
times.
An apple. Yeah.
Well, your apple ain't going to cut it.
Not
all
of
he's
it.
Saying.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, an apple a day is still ahead of the curve for most people.
Okay. Wow.
Very interesting. That's great information.
Good information.
Great information.
Things to watch for and, get that taken care of. And I love that it can be healed and then you can be heart, you could be gut healthy again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We are going to take a break right here. We will be back. We're going to talk to John and we're going to talk about our heart health event coming up. It's a heart screening for you May 9th. Mark that down from 9 to 3 at all three of our clinics. And we're going to tell you why you need to check this out. In just a moment, stay right there. And if you have a question, phone lines are open for you at 206-421-5757. John, we'll talk with you next.
And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young.
Forever young.
Forever young.
Rod Stewart. Last time I saw him, he was 70 in a kilt with pictures with his little kids. He's got like, I don't know, 7 or 9 of them. Mm. Yeah. Forever young.
Love the song, though.
They're going to keep him forever young.
That's absolutely how he likes his wife.
That's right. Forever young. Yeah, he's on wife number 5 supermodel.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, right. Believe it or not, this is Leading Edge Medicine, and we are back. And very excited. Dr. Umat, you've got something happening at all three clinics here next month. Why don't you tell us about it?
I hope they're all seeing patients.
Yes. Well, that too, but it has to do with the heart.
Yeah, this one is special. And the reason it's special is because we have never actually done the Cleveland panel for non-longevity patients. But it's such a value add to anybody's life that is struggling with heart disease or doesn't even know that they have heart disease. Remember, heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. And if you want to know where you stack up, then you can go get this test done. But then the point is, why get a test done if you're not going to do anything about it? And the point that I want to tell everybody is that there is a lot you can do to prevent heart disease. Do not be that statistic that finds out after the event. You can find out before. You can actually prevent the event with, and if some people say to me, well, I'm not going to do this, that, or the other, well, then take the medication. The medication will help. I mean, obviously, that's not the best answer, but there is so much that can be done once you know. And with this test, you can not only find out what your absolute cholesterol numbers are, you can find out what the inflammation markers are, what the genetic markers are, what the cholesterol particles are doing, and then what is the fish oil and omega-3 and omega-6 relationships. So let me talk a little bit more about that. We all have cholesterol in our body. Cholesterol is the most essential part of every cell. The problem is when that cholesterol lays down plaque and that plaque obstructs blood flow and it causes a part of the plaque to break off and cause a heart attack or a stroke or whichever organ it's going to, it blocks the blood flow there. And sometimes little emboli are blocking little blood vessels constantly, and that causes a big problem later on. So the idea here is let's find out how clean the blood vessels are, what is the cholesterol doing in your body, and is it helping or is it reached the stage where it is now hurting more than helping? And so which part of it is hurting and what can you do to change that? So the test looks at not just the total cholesterol numbers, the LDL, HDL, VLDL, and their ratios and triglycerides. It actually looks at what the particle sizes are because not all cholesterol is equal. The smaller LDL particles are more dangerous. And if there are more of them and they're smaller, they can cause more danger. And when the plaque is being laid down, it releases certain amino acids and proteins that actually tell us the status of that plaque. And if that plaque is about to rupture, we're getting messages into the blood system that we can now pick up. And one of those blood tests will come up in this Cleveland panel. And by the way, Cleveland Heart Lab is now part of Quest Diagnostics. And Cleveland Heart Lab is called the Center of Excellence for Heart Blood testing, and I'm really glad that we have been a part of them from the very beginning. Well, not the very beginning, but very early
close,
on days.
Early on.
And our longevity patients have had this test, but now we're offering it to everybody. And what we did for longevity to customize this test for us, for our patients, was to tag along what I call the omega check, which is basically the relationship between your omega-3s and the omega-6s, the omega-3s being anti-inflammatory and the 6s being pro-inflammatory. You need them for an inflammation, but you don't want them all the time. High numbers are dangerous, and you don't want that, you know, kind of in tune with what we've been talking about with inflammation being bad. And then finally, there's a genetic test as part of this as well, which if you have running in you in the high numbers, that it means that it's probably high in other family members. And so heart disease runs in those families that have this high lipoprotein particle, little A. And then we'd also look at, you know, what is it doing in the liver? Is there congestion in the liver? Are the carrier molecules back and forth from the gut and the liver inflamed and rising? And so here then we predict, okay, and then we look at compare this to the CMP where we measure the GGT and we go, okay, is your enzyme increasing? What's happening in the liver? What's happening to your insulin level? We go ahead and do a challenge test or we do fasting insulin levels to see how much congestion is there and what's happening with the pancreatic health and sugar. So cholesterol, sugar, its relationship to you, where are you in this whole spectrum?
Wow.
So for the first time, I mean, many doctors do these tests, but who's putting it together for
yes.
you? Who is saying to you this is a risk factor and who and it is not? Is it affecting your eyes? Is it affecting your brain? Is it affecting your gut? Is it affecting other parts of your body? You really do need to know that. It's a $300 test, $299. If you become a longevity patient, it is for free. What you pay for it will go towards your longevity dues. So a great opportunity for anybody who's curious and wants to know to come on in and let us tell you. If you do the whole panel, the Cleveland panel as well as the longevity panel, it gets you a 1.5 hour physician time.
Yes,
so you actually
so good.
Sit down with one of our doctors and go over all the test results, and then you can decide whether you want to proceed
Very
with
good.
Care in our clinics or not.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you when and where in just a moment. John from Tacoma had a question about the heart screening. Hi, John. I know that was a lot of information.
Hello, John.
That's all right. That's pretty much, I'm listening because that's what I was curious about, what was all involved on and stuff like that. But I did sign up for it, and I am coming in for that on next month, on the 9th, in Tacoma to have that blood test taken and
Perfect.
Stuff like that. Because I was diagnosed with aortic stenosis probably a couple few years ago with moderate. And the only reason that I was ever diagnosed with it because I was being proactive after I went on Medicare, and they asked me if I wanted to have some certain things done because they found when I had an MRI done, long story short, they found some in the aortic valve that I had some calcification. And I asked my main doctor, I said, why didn't you ever bring that up? And he said, well, John, at your age, everybody's got calcification. And I kind of thought myself, well, maybe you ought to get me hold of a cardiologist and have him or her look at the situation. So lo and behold, I went and had carotid arteries looked at, and I'm clean in there, and I didn't have any perforations down lower. But she says, let's go in and have a look at your heart. Well, it turns out that I had aortic stenosis, and I would have never known that if I wasn't proactive to begin with to go out and look at that. So because I don't have any symptoms of it. I walk almost 60 miles a month and stuff like that, so I'm not getting any heart problems with on it. So I figured when you guys came up with this test, I should come back into it because my cardiologist is they're a great guy. Pulse Institute is who they are, and they're great heart doctors. But you know, they're not doing anything except for monitoring. So I like to look. Is there anything I can do with aortic stenosis? I'm sure there isn't a whole lot you can do once you've got it. I just moderate. I don't want it to run into severe. And I am on relief factor, and I've been on relief factor for 9 years. It's not like I'm not taking different things to help. So is there anything you ever heard that would help aortic stenosis with these tests of my doctor or somebody else could be doing for me that I'm not getting done now besides just getting monitoring and waiting for the operation?
Right. No, and thank you for your question. It's a great question.
this is not specifically for aortic stenosis. That's looking at the valve, right? So that's the pump of the heart pushing out blood flow through the aorta, which is the major vessel getting blood to the rest of the body. And that aortic stenosis is basically that valve is not functioning well. There's narrowing in that area, and you cannot get all of that blood out. So the amount going out to the rest of the body has decreased over time. And that, actually, there's a lot more they do for that now, John. So you should be in touch with your cardiologist. They do electrophysiology studies as well, and they look at the valve size, and they do monitor to make sure that that valve is not narrowing. And then at a certain point, they do go in to replace it. And they become much better at that now. And you want to do it before it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. Before I can't be able to walk around or have issues with breathing and stuff like that. I had it for a couple of years on there, and the first year was just nothing but worried about it. So that probably took some life out of me anyway. But thinking about why and how did I have it? But it probably took 30 years to show up in my system anyway. It's not like it's an overnight situation.
Very true.
Having that TRV is probably the thing that I'd have to have down the road, which that's the only one I'm looking at.
That's right. It is. But it's become very easy to do that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's not such a big deal as it used to be in the past.
No, but it's still quite worrisome.
I understand. But at least there is an option, right?
Right.
All right.
Well, the music tells me I have to go to a break. If you have more questions, just hang on and let's come back to a break and we'll see how we can help you more, okay?
Okay. Thank you, John and Chuck and Kay. We're going to try to get to your questions as well. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and I want to give you that phone number to call to make that appointment for our health screening, our heart health screening, that day coming up at all three of our clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland from 9 to 3. That is on May the 9th. Okay, that's a Thursday, May 9th. Make your appointment today for that. Also, here is the number that you can make that appointment and for your health screening. If you'd like to do that, we offer that free health analysis for you as well at 866-86-YOUNG. That is the number to call. We want to get you in. We want to get you started. We want to see what your body has done to you so far so that we can find out if you're at risk for things down the road like cancers and heart disease, Alzheimer's, sexual dysfunction, diabetes, and more. So important to find out now what's going on. Again, that number for the free health analysis appointment or for the heart health screening May 9th, that number is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online to lmclinic.com. All right, we're back. We're going to Linwood. Chuck is on the line. Hi there, Chuck. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi there. I have a question, Chuck, for Dr. Nelson.
All right.
Okay.
I heard him earlier when you talked to a lady about low back pain and with pain radiating down their legs. And so I don't think he needs to repeat that from me because I heard it. But my question to him is if I come and see him, he keeps mentioning, maybe having an MRI. Well, I have a pacemaker. Mm. So
yeah.
How will he deal with me
if I can't
take an MRI?
good question, Chuck, and that comes up periodically. If we needed something MRI-like, we would get a CT scan. We can't do that at Pro Ortho because we don't have, but we can arrange to send you for a CT scan. In some cases, we'll do a CT myelogram, which is a little more involved with contrast, but typically a CT scan is just fine. We just can't do it there in the clinic.
Okay.
Yeah, so and, that's not a problem at all. We can the CT will give us
a problem getting in and out of cars and all my friends. And I'm 6'2", and I'm not that. And my question is, could you order the CT scan in Edmonds?
Yes, because there's the hospital there in Edmonds, and that's the Swedish a Swedish hospital, right? Yeah, so they could do it there.
All right, and that helps me with logistics. I wanted to tell you, I'm 82 years old, and 2 years ago I had this horrible pain that I heard the lady doctor mention. I had a compression fracture, and it was horrible for 6 months.
Oh, my gosh. And nobody,
Well, I went to see a pain doctor. I tried to see a back doctor, and he said, oh, you got to see the pain doctor first. And the pain doctor gave me some pills. And anyway, I just said, I'll tough it out. And he said it may heal. And so that's another thing I'll ask you about when I come in, you know.
The compression fracture, we talked about that, I think, earlier. About, there is a treatment called kyphoplasty, which can be like a miracle. In my opinion, nobody should have to suffer that kind of pain because that is horrible pain. But we can talk about that when you show up, for sure.
Yeah, well, you've been very thorough, and I think I look forward to coming in and see you. I have a question for the gastronomical doctor. I forgot his
name. All right. Our gut guy, Dr. Pentland.
Oh, Dr. Pentland. Dr. Pentland, could you tell me what symptoms that you should look for in your stool to see if maybe you need to have, you know, if you're having a problem with polyps or cancer or anything like that in your colon?
Interesting question. Sometimes it doesn't show up that much in the stool. But one of the, you know, if there is a significant anomaly or lesion there, well, blood in the stool would be one thing, but that's very common with hemorrhoids as well, so it's not specific. But sort of the pencil-shaped stools is one sign to maybe look a little deeper if it's staying that shape, right?
And then if it's higher up, if the lesion or the break in the colon causing the bleeding is higher up, then we ask the patients to look for a change in the color of the stool, so they're dark and tarry. And sometimes when they're taking a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug that might be causing a little bit of a GI bleed, that can also cause dark, tarry stools. So we specifically check for stool for blood in stool.
And there's a very common test for that. Right. If you get a colonoscopy, they'll often check for occult blood in the stool.
Oh, okay.
And you know, if you are not able to do a colonoscopy, you can do the stool tests. They are covered by Medicare, and they do look for a lot of different things in just the stool swab, whether there's blood in there, whether there's markers for cancer or not. Cologuard, the Cologuard test are tests like that. They basically send you a kit at home, and you do a little swab, and you send the kit back, and the lab will give you a report about what they found.
So you have to have that ordered by a doctor?
Yes, your primary care doctor can order it, and Medicare covers for this.
And you do it through the mail at home.
And you can do it from home.
All right. Well, you guys, thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job. I appreciate it.
Thank you
so
much,
Chuck. Thanks for the
call,
Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Good luck to you, Chuck.
All right. Just a few minutes left of our show. We're headed to Graham. And Kay, thank you for hanging on the line.
Hello there. I have a question about the Viasure. I'm wondering if it is ever used for Peyronie's disease.
Good question.
Yeah. So it's a good question. Yeah. So the Viasure, the sound wave therapy, basically it's activating connective tissue and improving blood flow to the area, and that can be effective for correcting Peyronie's disease.
Yeah. We don't advertise it a lot, but it has been shown to be helpful, and people do, including the company who we bought our machine from, will tell us that it can be used. There are other clinics that are actively advertising and using the same device and telling them that they can improve Peyronie's disease. We like to kind of, you know, play a little low-key, under-promise and over-deliver. So an evaluation with Dr. Pentland and his team would probably be a good idea, and then he can give you a better idea whether it will work or not. But a short answer to your question is, yes, the Viasure device can treat it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Very good. All right, and real quick, what is Peyronie's disease, in case someone else is out there?
Right, so that's a abnormal curvature of an erection. So it's actually crooked, like kind of like Dupuytren's contracture. On the hand where the finger is contracted abnormally, and it's a similar thing for the penis.
Very good. And how long would that, like, how many times would they need to come in, or is that part of coming
in? So a typical Viasure treatment is 6 sessions once a week.
Okay.
So one time a week.
One time a week for 6 weeks.
Right.
Okay. Definitely something you'd want to come in and talk to Dr. Pentland and his team about, talking about the Viasure.
The Viasure consultation and see if they have any contraindications and look at their candidacy.
Yeah, and they can go to all 3 clinics for this.
They can, and you do not have to be a longevity patient to come in, but you do need to come in and get a consultation with one of our doctors.
And if you are a good candidate, they can perform a treatment on the same day.
There you go. That's good to know. You're asking about Viasure, and that number to call is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Wow. So much information again today. We've had a very full show. Thank you, Dr. Pentland and Dr. Nelson, for coming in on our show. And of course, Dr. UMAT. Should we do this again next week? Dr. Mixon is still gone.
Yes, we are doing it again next week.
Yes, we are. So we will have Dr. Pentland. You will be returning. We'll talk more about gut health and probably about the Viasure and some of the things that can be done. And then we will be talking with Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. About the eyes.
Amazing radio voice.
Oh, yes. We love his radio voice.
Oh, I know.
So he'll be in, and we'll be talking about the eyes. So if you've got questions about glaucoma or perhaps macular degeneration, maybe you've wanted to do LASIK or the RLE. That's the...
refractive lens exchange.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you know that. Oh, boy. Then next week is the day to call. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll be back next week on Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Clinics. Thank you for listening.